Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
What's up, Craig?
Hey, I'm sort of elated a little bit, kind of excited.
Yeah, so it's Oscar nomination day, Tuesday, January 23rd, and we just heard all the big nominations. We're recording this emergency Oscar seasoning podcast for Film Nerds Unlimited. And so, Craig, there are obviously a lot of big headlines that came out of these nominations. I don't think we anticipated many surprises, but I think we were pleasantly surprised by a few. The big headlines, I guess, Shape of Water leads all nominees with 13 overall, which is huge for its chances moving forward. And you have folks making history in the directing category like Greta Gerwig and Jordan Peele. You have some snubs in some categories like Best Actor with James Franco, who felt like a surefire lot nominee. So, again, some big surprises, but I know you're especially enthused about one movie in particular and the splash it made this morning.
Phantom Thread. It's something that I only picked it for, I think we only expected it for actor in Daniel Day-Lewis, who was not nominated for a SAG. And I think it was expected for production design and costume design. But when Leslie Manville was called for supporting actress, my ears perked up. And then, of course, Paul Thomas Anderson himself for director. And that was almost a foregone conclusion at that point that it would be nominated for Best Picture. And it indeed was. And that's very exciting for myself and yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's interesting you say ears perked up. That's a good way to put it when they said Leslie Manville, because, you know, her name had been floating around out there, but she wasn't obviously one of the, you know, if Phantom Thread's getting nominated, it's going to be for these categories. And,
right.
And while her name was again out there, it's like you assume Daniel Day-Lewis, you assume screenplay, costume design, perhaps picture. And yeah, you're exactly right. As soon as I heard her name, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I guess they liked Phantom Thread. What else does that mean? And when I heard Paul Thomas Anderson for director, I was like, whoa, that's a big surprise. Like, and it kind of, I won't say it confirms the theory that I had with SAG, was that when they announced SAG, I felt like Phantom Thread missing from these nominations might suggest that people hadn't seen it yet. And because, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is who he is, and, I mean, if he makes a big prestige movie, he's probably getting nominated. So that was a surprise that he didn't get into SAG, but it just made me assume maybe the screeners went out a little too late by the time SAG voting started or ended. So who knows? But, yeah, that's a huge surprise. I don't know that Phantom Thread is going to win anything beyond maybe costume design or score, but it has, six nominations that were kind of a surprise and in all major categories pretty much. So that's pretty huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It, to me, it's just a couple of, one, I really love Paul Thomas Anderson and his films. And it was just, and we've talked about it on recent Oscar seasonings, where with, as you mentioned, with Daniel Day-Lewis and then Phantom Thread itself not getting a ton of just talk or buzz at all, but on the film critics that we read and things especially being said on Twitter and stuff like that, I saw nothing but just gaga reviews about Phantom Thread. And so it was head-scratching, to say the least. But I think this happens. I think that when the Oscar nominations are announced, the Academy kind of pulls through and really kind of shocks us sometimes. I think people... I think pundits and fans of award season, when we're in the throes of the guilds and the award ceremony, we tend to put way too much emphasis on what's happening at the time, such as the SAG Awards, who match very consistently nomination-wise, but there's always throwaways, and that's when the Academy comes in and says, hey, nah, this is what we really think. But the Directors Guild not being announced yet. I'm really curious to see how that plays over there, but super excited that Paul Thomas Anderson gets nominated. I think it goes to, I think we can learn something every year, and that is the Academy has a mind of their own and that they do like Paul Thomas Anderson, especially when he makes a movie approachable and one that can probably be seen and have a connection with.
Yeah, and he obviously took the place of folks that everybody is predicting would make the final five, including maybe Spielberg, including Dunna for Three Billboards. So I don't know if you can necessarily call those two snubs, especially considering how few nominations Post ended up getting. So maybe Spielberg isn't as much of a snub as McDonough, whose movie's up for 7 awards and is considered by many a slight frontrunner to maybe win Best Picture. We'll see how his lack of a directing nomination affects his Best Picture chances. I think with the preferential ballot, it may not matter. But there's precedent, obviously, with something like Argo, where the director wasn't nominated and the film won Best Picture. So it can happen. Maybe it does happen. I don't know. But some of the other prizes, Craig, I mentioned Franco earlier. James Franco felt like a lock as much as anybody in any category. So I'm a little shocked, and obviously there's this breaking news over the past couple of weeks that he has been alleged to have sexually harassed people, or at least was alleged to have been involved in sexual misconduct. But I think that broke after the Oscar nomination voting process ended. So that makes it even more surprising.
I believe you're right. I have to go back and see when that first broke, but I agree with that. I think it was the 12th that the nominations were due, and that was 11 days ago. This Franco news is younger than 11 days, I feel like. So
yeah.
So I don't know if that affected it at all. I don't know if it was murmurings beforehand, but.
Well, and then I guess you can't bet against Denzel, you know? I mean, he's in this movie, Roman J. Israel Esquire from Dan Gilroy, which got a SAG nomination. So, I mean, if you get a SAG nomination, that should at least be a cue that an Oscar nomination is possible. I admit that I had kind of given up on Denzel getting nominated. He wasn't in my final predictions. I figured Franco for sure. I figured maybe another person that I can't think of off the top of my head. Tom Hanks, I think. No, it wasn't
right.
Tom Hanks. Now I just can't even think of it. But, yeah, this is kind of a surprise that Denzel snuck in there. But, I don't know. I mean, it still seems like Gary Oldman's to lose right now, unless Chalamet can pick up steam again.
Yep, I agree. And something with, if we want to go on to Best Actress, that seems like a pretty much straight up what we expected. Meryl Streep not being the SAG nominee, but getting the Oscar nominee. So I think all's right with the world at this point. What do you say?
Yeah, I think this is the only category where I was 5 for 5 on picking the nominees, which, you know, it's predictable, but it's predictable for a reason. It was such a stacked year, and I think it's still going to be a race. I think McDormand probably has the edge right now, but honestly, I wonder if her comment at SAG the other night where she said younger women or the younger ones or the younger actresses, they need doorstops too. I wonder if the Academy voters just laugh that off, or if they say, okay, well, if you feel that way, we'll vote for Saoirse Ronan.
I wonder if they're going to see her as the kind of spokeswoman for that initiative and award her for speaking out, and then award younger women next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's a good role. It's a really good role. It's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like, do I like you? Do I not like? I mean, she's great, and it's an interesting role. So, I think at this point, I see her still winning, but you never know what can happen in a month. And who even knows what the Academy's thinking now? Everyone is complaining about yesterday, up until yesterday, sort of, you know, complaining about what the obvious winner is going to be, and we hadn't even had the nominations out, and here are the nominations that we don't even know what they're thinking, you know, yet.
Yeah, I agree about McDormand. It's a really complex performance. It's obviously, for me, the best thing about the movie, and I would have no problem if she won. I'm such a huge fan of hers, and she's great in it. I mean, you're right. She kind of comes across as an anti-hero in ways, but it's like, well, how would you feel if you're daughter had been raped?
Absolutely.
And murdered, you know, and then the cops weren't saying anything about it. You'd be pretty pissed off, sad, and angry too. So it's
absolutely
it's a character character that makes total sense and one I think that resonates with a lot of people right now.
You have to pull for her, but you don't necessarily like her as a person very much.
Right.
And maybe you do, but you're not forced to like her.
Right, and she's a victim of abuse too, you know, from her
yeah.
ex-spouse. So it's just, you know, it's a very grim movie that tries to find a little humor through its characters and through some of the things they say and do, and she obviously tries to keep perspective. And I don't love that movie. I really don't. Like, I think it's okay, and I think that some of the writing, I think a lot of the writing is really sloppy. And
yeah.
But you know, the performances are fun, I guess, and good. She's great. But I don't understand, Craig, why that movie is such an automatic in a lot of people's minds for Oscar, you know? Like, it doesn't really feel like your typical Oscar movie, and we're learning more and more that those kinds of movies, those that don't feel like Oscar-baity or prestige-type movies, aren't necessarily fixtures anymore and aren't necessarily automatic contenders. I mean, you just look at the Best Picture front-runners this year, where you have the traditional Oscar-y type movies like Dunkirk, and I guess you could say Darkest Hour fits that mold. They're kind of taking a back seat. The Post is another one of those. They're kind of taking a back seat to these less traditional titles that you wouldn't have seen 5 years ago, like Three Billboards or Lady Bird or Get Out. So, or Call Me by Your Name, maybe, for that matter. So it's just interesting to see how Oscar is trending right now.
Yeah, and where has John Hawkes been?
Yeah, he's kind of snuck into that movie.
Yeah, he's been gone for, what was it, Winter's Bone? What was he in?
Winter's Bone. He had the Sessions a few years ago. That was
kind of the
last, I guess, time he was in anything that really caught a lot of people's attention.
Well, Woody Harrelson getting nominated for SAG, there was some opinion that it was kind of a surprise that he would be nominated for SAG, but that makes sense that he's nominated for that and Oscar. I think it's a pretty prominent role, and I think his is, I don't know, maybe the second best role in that movie. And welcome to the Three Billboards discussion, by the way. So him getting nominated for supporting actor is not a shocker to me, because I think he's good in it, and I think it's a good role. It's am I trusting this guy? You definitely feel sorry for him in ways, but then there are things he does that you're like, no, that's not necessarily a very good thing. Willem Dafoe is just, while being nominated and recognized, has fallen off the face of the earth, I think, as far as winning anything.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think you're right. He was being essentially hailed as an Oscar winner a couple of months ago for Florida Project, and now it's like Sam Rockwell just took it and ran with it. Like, it's his at this point. I feel safe saying Sam Rockwell's going to win the Oscar. He's won every major precursor, and he has all the momentum that you could ask for. And you know, what's interesting about this category was that it wasn't very interesting until Christopher Plummer got nominated today, and maybe people don't think that's, you know, too out there, and it's not. He got a Golden Globe nomination, and, you know, his name was definitely out there, but it's just such a crazy story that came full circle today. Like, he's not going to win that Oscar, but, I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, maybe it's voters bought into the story and thought it was just too good to pass up, and to be honest with you, regardless of the performance itself, I can't really blame them for that, because, I mean, a great actor, a past winner, you know, as recently as just a few years ago, and somebody who is just such a veteran acting professional, the fact that he can just come in, knock out a performance in, what, like 9 days in these emergency reshoots for a major studio production whose movie is opening, like, within a couple of weeks or something insane like that, it's just, what an impressive feat, you know? Like, I mean, if he had crapped out a performance and it was terrible, I understand, but a lot of people don't feel that way, that they pulled it off. And, you know, kudos to Christopher Plummer. Not that he needs any more, but it truly is an amazing story that he was able to get an Oscar nomination for turning that bump around such a short amount of time.
I'm with you. I think even if it's even if it's decent, I think to be able to pull that off in 9 days, something someone else had already done. And this is one of those things where Oscar fans 20 years from now are going to be looking back and looking at nominations and comparing them to things. They're going to see Christopher Plummer's name there. And they may or may not remember, or they may have to be told, and they may learn themselves that there's such an incredible story underneath Christopher Plummer for supporting actor that was so plugged into what was going on culturally at the time, and which has ties to other nominations and other themes and plots of movies that are nominated. It's really something that maybe when the dust settles someday in a few years, we can look back and say, well, so there's one thing to not, I wouldn't be on board with nominating everything that is along the same theme of some kind of campaign or theme of the times, just because, but all these good, great movies that have similar themes and plots to their movies, or as like Christopher Plummer that reshot all of Kevin Spacey's scenes in a matter of 9 days because he was shot from the movie. That's pretty incredible to me. But yeah, so I'm with him. I don't mind that at all. So, and Woody Harrelson getting in over James Franco is the no, I'm sorry, not James Franco. I'm mixing up my categories for the second time this morning. Who is the big snub here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a huge snub. Armie Hammer was obviously somebody people were talking about. Even Michael Stuhlbarg from that same movie, Call Me By Your Name. So this category is not very competitive, just because Rockwell and Defoe have been sort of keeping it top-heavy for a while, and so I think the remaining three are just sort of happy to be there, and it filled out how it filled out. But I guess if there's a snub, it's probably Armie Hammer.
Yeah, and there's like three names floating around that's kind of like a carousel of, or musical chairs, if you will, for this category, and there's like one spot open, and I think that was kind of the deal. It was like there's really not enough to really say, oh, it's obviously this guy. But
right.
Woody Harrelson is deserving, in my opinion. But supporting actress, I think, that's where I think I missed a couple in this category. One being, I was not sure whether or not, so let me just say, Allison Janney and Laurie Metcalf were locks. Without question, Octavia Spencer not nominated for SAG, but Mary J. Blige was. Both got nominated, which is pretty incredible. And then Leslie Manville, which is also incredible because she had very little. I mean, I think she was like three slots down on my list to get in. And so it was like basically no chance of getting in. This is kind of what I was referring to earlier about kind of how the Academy has of its mind of its own, or at least the separate branches within the Academy, for instance, acting, sort of have their own hive mind, and you get to see that play out here like it did this morning.
Yep. I think I ended up going with Holly Hunter for my fifth. That's the one I didn't get. Otherwise, I went 4 out of 5, and I thought if it wasn't Holly Hunter, it'll probably, I guess it'll be Hong Chau from Downsizing. Not the case. Surprised with Leslie Manville. So, yeah, one of the big surprises of the morning, and it's always good to have surprises when you just think it's all just
right, locked
away, and it's going to be kind of boring. But, yeah, so, Craig, I mean, let's quickly focus on director and picture. Based on what we've seen right now, what all got however many nominations they got, who's missing, like McDonough and Spielberg obviously in director, like how do you think that affects director and picture? Like right now, like what do you think is trending well?
Well, director and picture the last 2 years, if I remember correctly, I'm not looking right at it, but there's been a director and picture split. I think these days it's safer to predict the split than it is to predict the same. And before preferential balloting really set in, it was so rare to have a director and picture split. And now it's almost understandable because you're basically awarding the director and then the movie, which it sounds ridiculous. I'm being sarcastic. But back in the day, the director won and the picture won most of the time, the vast majority of the time. That's not the case today. I think that's great because you can award The Revenant Inarritu, but then give Spotlight the picture, and Moonlight and La La Land. And here, I think that's going to be the case here. How it's actually going to play out, I'm not sure, and I could change my mind. But I think trending right now, up until this morning, was Three Billboards. I don't see – he's definitely not going to win director, obviously, because he's not nominated. But picture, who knows? Shape of Water may go for director, or they may – it could go anywhere. I'm thinking right now Shape of Water and Three Billboards are trending, but this morning that may kind of shake things up a bit. Florida Project was left out. The Big Sick was left out. I guess that's the only two. 9 nominations is the most they've ever done, and they've done 9 before. But let's see. Paul Thomas Anderson, yeah, that's the only change from Directors Guild, so... it's going to be an interesting month, and I'm very glad because it was, I don't know if I could bear another month following who I follow on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, the Madonna snub is very interesting because you're talking about a movie that is considered, again, a frontrunner to possibly win Best Picture, and the director isn't even nominated. So this obviously opens the door up for Guillermo del Toro to win Best Director. He won BGA. The movie won PGA. It's obviously beloved by Oscar voters because it leads all nominees with 13. So it's not walking away empty-handed on Oscar night. And I think the biggest award it could win, it could win Picture, but I think Del Toro is probably going to win Director right now. And if not Del Toro, then McDonough's absence, I think, also kind of opens the door back up for Christopher Nolan, for Dunkirk. And everybody acknowledges that movie is, you know, if they're not willing to call it an all-out great movie, which it is, they're at least out there saying, oh, it's an amazing technical achievement. It's an amazing achievement by Christopher Nolan. What an amazing job he did. And he's been singled out, obviously. He is the brand that is that movie. And so I think that Nolan, and I've heard so many directors during the course of 2017 publicly he praise upon Dunkirk. So the directors are probably going to be voting for Dunkirk. I don't know about the rest of the Academy, but I think Nolan is still a player in Best Director. I don't think Dunkirk is going to win Best Picture, even if he wins Best Director, just because of the momentum these other movies have. But I think that today was a really good day for Shape of Water.
Yep. It's just helping how it was already trending. And the reverse, I think the opposite for Three Billboards. But Dunkirk is, in my opinion, and I think you and I have talked about this off air, I could be mistaken, so correct me if I'm wrong. It's the best directing job this year, Dunkirk is, in my opinion. And there's no comparison. So I would love it if Del Toro won director. I think he's awesome. He seems like he's totally engaging to listen to in interviews. And he does amazing work. He's completely one of a kind. Dunkirk was such a complex thing to make. I mean, just logistically, but the way it was pulled together into one thing, it requires that you continue thinking about it, unless you just have like a heart of stone.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's sort of taken a backseat to these other movies, which I think it's superior to most of them, and there's still a couple I need to see to be sure, but Dunkirk for me is very obviously the best movie out of all these, the ones that I've seen contender-wise, but you know, we know by now that the Academy voters are susceptible to charm on the campaign trail, and they can be essentially talked into voting a certain way. I mean, you read those anonymous ballots, and they complain when nominees don't talk to them at parties and things like that, and you just have heard stories here and there. There is no more charming person on the award circuit right now than Guillermo del Toro, and his movie also happens to be great. And if you're in the same room with that guy, you're going to walk out in a better mood than you walked into it with.
Yep.
So I think that's gonna be a big advantage that movie has, the fact that he's the spokesperson for it, and everybody just likes him a lot. And you know, to be honest, Craig, like, I'm shocked that that movie is such an Oscar darling right now, because traditionally Guillermo del Toro movies, you know, with the exception of Pan's Labyrinth, and that's a pretty weird movie, but traditionally, I mean, his movies just aren't necessarily big Oscar movies, and they're weird, and they're gross, and they have gore, and they have creatures and stuff that just typically doesn't appeal to Oscar voters. And so the fact that this is has 13 nominations, could win Best Picture, could win Best Director, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. As a big fan of Guillermo del Toro and as a big fan of that movie, I'm not going to say anything publicly to jinx it, and I'm just going to roll with it, because if he wins Best Director, that's a win for movies and a win for movie fans.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah, and it's weird. You think about this is a movie that is commercially accepted from his filmography, but then you think about the others and you're like, they're so unique and they're so great, and I love almost all of his movies, but they all do have this one thing where it's like, yeah, this isn't going to fly on a mainstream level, if I can use that term. And this one is exactly the same thing. There's things in this movie that I'm like, yeah, I think the average person's not going to, they're going to think that's weird, and they're not going to connect with it or something. But here we are. The buzz started really early in last year, and has just crescendoed into a massive stream, and it's continuing to go. I don't know. 13 nominations is impressive, and if it doesn't, it's either going to get a lot of those, or it's going to really be a massive failure, and I do not see the latter happening.
Well, and how awesome is it, Craig, too? We've talked about this term, the three amigos, right, with Del Toro and Cuarón and Iñárritu. The fact that you had that big Oscar night in 2006 where they had Pan's Labyrinth and Children of Men and Babel, and none of those movies won big Oscars, but it was such a huge moment for them and their native country of Mexico. And for the fact that they had that big historic night, and they didn't even win the big Oscars, they did after the fact. They went for Gravity. They went for The Revenant. They went for Birdman, and now they could win for The Shape of Water. It's just what an awesome story, the fact that they were connected all the way back then, and they won for movies that came after that. I think that's just an amazing way for Oscar to trend, but also, I mean, these three incredibly talented guys who have been connected for so long, the fact that, you know, they've known each other forever, for decades now, and they're winning all the Oscars. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's cool, and it's encouraging in that way that three directors that are not from this country, that know each other and that work hard and that are great in their own right, are awarded, and you see that trend over time. But then it's also encouraging to see that the Oscars are awarding legitimately good films, and that the good workers, the great directors, the great movies will be received and awarded because of that most of the time. So I think that's also kind of something encouraging to me, is that, oh, that guy's great. When they start to produce great movies and direct great movies, they actually get rewarded for them. So.
All right, well, Craig, let's close it out here. Anything else that sticks out, anything in the technical categories that you've got your eye on that surprised you, any snubs, anything like that?
No, pretty cool that Logan was nominated for Adapted Screenplay. One thing I learned about animated when predicting the nominations, or just how Oscar nominates, is that it seems like every year there's some crazy animated movies that I've never even heard of come in. But really, for the most part, there's only a couple, and you shouldn't go in thinking they're going to nominate three or four unknown animated movies. I'm trying to scroll down here. I think the technical category is cinematography. Mudbound, that's the first woman cinematographer nominated for an Oscar? Is that correct?
Yep.
Film editing, Three Billboards and Shape of Water and Dunkirk are all nominated. And it's not vital for Best Picture win, but it is important that you get the film editing nominee. And if it's full of just off-the-wall nominations, then you know something's going to be up. And come Oscar night, if something like Baby Driver wins film editing, then watch out. It's going to be nuts.
Well, it's pretty awesome that an Edgar Wright movie his movies have deserved a best editing nomination for a long time now, going all the way back.
Every one of them.
So
every single one of them.
Yep, that's right. Every single one, and that's awesome. I will say, Craig, about this category, Lady Bird deserved an editing nomination. That movie is superbly edited, and if it's a best picture contender, it belongs in the conversation. I'm a little surprised by Tanya. Got nominated, but I know that it's a flashy, stylish movie, so maybe that shouldn't be a surprise. But Lady Bird belongs there.
I see I, Tonya, and I think The Big Short, and I think that's why it's nominated. There's some just things that kind of jump around, and here I'm going to go bury this movie, and I'm not intending to. But to me, it's in that same vein, and I didn't predict I, Tonya, and it's not shocking to me, but there's other movies that deserve to be in there over it, including Lady Bird. Production design, no Phantom Thread for production design, but that's okay because it got costume design. I mean, the production design's not, it doesn't seem crazy. Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner getting quite a few nominations. Darkest Hour representative to some degree in the text. John Williams got a score nomination.
Yeah, and the Star Wars score is awesome, so I'm glad to see it get nominated. Both of his Star Wars scores have been nominated so far. Johnny Greenwood scores his first nomination, which is long overdue after his brilliant work in the other Paul Thomas Anderson movies, so glad to see him in the mix finally.
I had predicted Shape of Water for visual effects. I wasn't sure how much of that sea monster was actual costume and or prosthetic and how much was actual visual effect. And that's the magic of Del Toro, is that a lot of times you can't tell the difference. But I believe it was I did not put Kong Skull Island in because I had Shape of Water. I'm glad Guardians of the Galaxy got in. War for the Planet of the Apes, every installment of that movie was nominated for visual effects, so it's no surprise that that got in. Victoria and Abdul coming in to wreck everything. is that the sequel to Mr. Turner?
Oh, Lord.
Let me look real quick. So it looks like sound mixing and sound editing are the same.
Yep, the exact same. And I think Dunkirk's going to win both of those.
It seems like every year there's at least one difference. And it's always like, why are you different? I feel like I understand these categories, but I'm like, I don't understand why they're different.
Right.
But I think while watching Baby Driver, I'm thinking this has to be nominated for sound mixing, and whatever else is there, if it wins, I'm fine with, because the way the sound, the music, the dialogue, not even pops in and out, but phases in and out, it's just like, wow, someone sat down there and worked years on this. It sounds like it's so not obnoxious. It's busy. It's just, there's always something going on, but Dunkirk, there's so many different things going on in Dunkirk, in more ways than just sound. And I don't know how you would pick a different one for these categories. But that's all I can see. Anything from you?
No, I think we covered it. I was a little surprised Darkest Hour showed up in so many tech categories. But it shows me that the Academy really liked that movie a lot. I'm a little surprised Joe Wright wasn't nominated for Best Director, considering what all it was nominated for, and maybe even some of the other supporting categories like Kristin Scott Thomas and Ben Mendelsohn. A little surprised now that they didn't pop up, given how many nominations it has overall. But I think we're good and covered here.
Yeah, I think one thing with Joe Wright is that he always, and I'm not going to include Pan in this comment, but the cinematography is always top notch, it seems like. It may not be something just like in your, like, obviously incredible, like Atonement It could be something more like Pride and Prejudice, which was crazy in its own way. But I have not seen Darkest Hour yet, and I will be looking out for that camera work, framing, whatever they try to do with that little vignette before with the lighting. So I guess you're trying to say lighting is included in this now, which I guess it's always been. But did you see that on the when they announced it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little vignettes between each category.
It was all
lighting, and I guess they were zooming out, but a slow zoom, Okay,
lighting is important.
Fun. Yes, it is absolutely of utmost importance.
All right, well, right on. I think we're ready for the Oscars.
I know I am. Let's see what this next month will do.
For Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.